Nice and comfortable in here. Hallelujah. Got the heat, air conditioning. Lights are on. That's because you guys are faithful. I thank you for that. We thank one another for that. Hallelujah. That's the character of God. Being responsible. Taking care of things. Hallelujah. Doing what we can do. Glory to God. Now, I'm sure that that song just came during praise and worship. There's many gifts in the body of Christ. And God wants to speak in many, many different ways. And so, do we have a testimony here today? I want you to testify from last Sunday, Al. Tell them what happened. He told me, he might as well tell the whole church.
And how I have to
green.
Be. Huh?
It's all right.
And and we've all been praying for it. You've been faithful to pray for me and hold me up in it. And sometimes the Lord does it in a different way than we wanted it to be done. You know, I'd like for us to pray once and poof. And I'm sure you would too. But we kept after it just like he said to do in Luke 18. And I was sitting here last Sunday when Pastor was preaching, and, you know, he was having his problems because of his operation. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, put your hands, like, here. Both of my hands, so I put them there. And then he said, push up. And I pushed up. Now, nothing snapped or anything like a chiropractor, but I just did what he said to do. And from that moment on, there was nothing. I mean, not even a twinge of anything. And when I would lay in bed and try to roll over, it would be a real problem. I wouldn't be able to even roll over because it was a nerve being pinched or something. And so I'd have to actually take my hand under the hip that was and actually pick it myself up while laying down and move myself, which was not easy to do. And so when I went to roll over, my brain was still telling me it's going to hurt. And so I went to do all that, and there was absolutely nothing. No pain at all whatsoever, not even a residual thing. It was just like it was. It was better than before it happened. And, you know, you just have to praise God and then give credit to his people because they spoke to him and moved him. You know, you were all a part of it, whether you think so or not, or whether you realized it or not. We have that kind of effect on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the testimony isn't so much that I got healed, but that you know that when you pray, that it's effective and that it works and that it has a meaning to it. Too much talk about praying and it's just kind of, you know, over our heads or water under the bridge. We don't put as much importance on it as I think we need to. It's the power that moves the kingdom. If people don't care, if people don't pray, take it upon themselves to pray, then we're just kind of bouncing along and we're not really understanding what God is about, why Jesus died for us, and the importance of you being involved in everything in everybody else's life. And it's not that you're being nosy and pushy. You're just using the power God gave you through him.
Yes.
To alleviate situations.
Amen.
Whatever the situation is. And we've all got something. So we all should be praying for each other every day. What Nancy was talking about in Sunday school. Get involved in a way that isn't invasive.
Inconspicuous.
You know, I'm not butting my nose in your business, but I'm butting God's nose in your business, if you want to put it that way. He says, command ye me. And he wants us to tell him what needs to be done. And we don't, I don't know how to explain it, but we don't boss him around. No way that we boss him around. But he sees the concern of our heart, and when it meshes with the concern of his heart, yeah, he moves.
We make our requests known unto God.
Yes. And
that's
when you do
you
it
do.
In his name, in his character, in that love, then results happen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
One more testimony. Larry. Turn it on. Turn it on.
What Pastor Danny was talking about when he mentioned something about the notion was that God takes us as we are. He doesn't come to us and say, you owe me something. He declared us as we ought to be well before we ever were that way. We're still looking to be that way. My mom and dad celebrated 50 years of wedded bliss.
Thank
Not
you,
all
Jay.
Of it was wedded bliss. I can assure you of that. Wedded, yes, thank you. The wedded blisters and bliss, yes, we'll say that. But we were there last night, and the one thing, there's a few things. My mom and dad had 8 children. We were all there with our spouses, and we invited very close relatives to my mom and dad, and we all enjoyed a very nice dinner together and camaraderie and just and being together through the whole thing. And all of us, all of the children, pulled together, and we all contributed so that everybody could eat and everybody could come. And it's just, it's a metaphor for the body of Christ, of course, because we all bring something to the table, and we all bring something to the banquet. And in the midst of that, there's deep love, and there's healing. My dad's faults sometimes are pretty glaring, and I don't say that judgmentally. He admittedly brings them out, and he teaches us by them sometimes. He regrets some of the things, and we don't hold that against him as a family. We move on, and just the way our father has. So there's a lot of things that we're taught or that are emblematic of what our walk in Christ should be that we saw last night. And my dad got up there, and you know, in marriage you've got the up and down, and you got your highs on the roller coaster and you got your lows on the roller coaster, and sometimes it's a nice even ride and you're grateful for that and you're thankful for it, but other times you go for a ride. And my dad has taken my mother for a ride several times, and whether she wants to go or not. And I love my father, don't get me wrong. He made me who I am, and he made me strong. He made me accountable and responsible. I take the good with the bad. We must. We don't look at the faults of our brothers and sisters or our fathers and mothers. We look at the goodness in them. I mean, people sometimes have a tendency, I think, and my dad is one of those, to sit there and pick out what he's done wrong and focus on that. But what about what we do right in Christ? What about what has been produced in keeping with Christ? He has 8 children. None of us are in jail. Most of us are all pretty productive. We all do fairly well. We're all responsible. We're all loving. We all look out for each other. That's the way the body ought to be, right?
Amen.
And that's how we were brought up. And so I look at my dad, and I have great compassion, because I don't know how he did it with 8 kids and the economy and all that. My mother, too, of course. I have great love for him, because I know what... I've got 3 girls, and I know what it takes for that, and I just can't imagine with 8 kids. But what my dad did with my mother, he got up there, and he just... He said the prayer over the meal, and... And he apologized to my family for how he was. And I know there was healing from my mother in that when he did that. And my dad told me later on, he says, Larry, I'm glad that you guys put this together. And it wasn't me, by the way. He was just talking to me. But my sisters were a big driving force in it. I was part of it, but they were more part of it. And he said that we were in a trying time, and this was healing for us. So don't ever take as inconsequential your relationships with the body of Christ. Anything that you can do of love, you know, it's worth a lot more than you probably even know. And don't be too hard on yourself, because God wasn't hard on us. He declared us as we ought to be way before we ever were that way. So I just thought I would share that with you. I have one other thing, too, if I may. Danny, may I say one other thing?
Quickly.
Yeah. And I would just ask for the prayers of the body and the discernment of God in the midst of it. But I've been offered an opportunity for litigation in Chicago, and I'd be traveling back and forth. But the thing about it is it's a contingency arrangement, and I have to be careful before I enter into it, because I don't want to be bound or enslaved basically to something that I can't get myself out of. Because with the court, you can't just walk away from something. You've got to ask the judge to get out of it. So I'm asking for your prayers to just keep me discerning and insightful and do what the Lord would have in the midst of it. It's a great opportunity. It's against a huge company. I'd be walking in the midst of it. There's a lot of it has already been done, a lot of the work. So just I just ask for your prayers and wisdom in that. Thank you.
Take that with you, but shut it off. Praise the Lord. Well, if you didn't get a chance to this week, you'll have to wait till next week now. Glory to God. We're doing a series on grace, and in a three-dimensional view of Paul and the epistles and the Gospels as well. But hopefully your mind's being expanded beyond just an unmerited favor, like he favors us with everything. And the truth is, there are always conditions to favor. How many know that causes have a response? You know. Can anybody say amen? And this grace of God that we're speaking about has a lot of causes and a lot of effects. But many times we own something and we don't realize that we are incapable of fulfilling it in its completion. Because something pops up that's went beyond where we are. Somebody say amen. Come on. I'm not going to be that long. And if you'll let me, I'll be more intensified and you'll get more involved, because I want you to take this home with you. I want you to live it every day. I'm not doing this for a job. I'm doing this because I'm called of God, have a wisdom in which I can impart within you that grace is greater than you think it is. And that its purposes are not yet, have we even been foretold. And that we're living in an age of grace. But let me tell you something. This age of grace is never going to go away. I've been taught it will, but it never will. Because people really want to get to a point of intelligence. Spiritually, physically, morally, and everything else. Where they are at an apex. Amen. And when they are at that apex, they can't go any higher. And nobody else can either. That's been pride. That's been the problem. We have been so blessed. We have been so privileged to take and be opened up so we can see. But I'm telling you, we've just begun to see. The half has not been told. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man who God is. And what we know is wonderful. It's fantastic. It's beyond words. But this grace is so powerful. I can't help it. He's got me in this thing now. So I'm in a vein and I'm digging in it and I'm deep. And so if you want to go deep, you're going to have to listen carefully and without your attitudes running into it. Of what you think you know and what you do know. And listen carefully as God begins to bring forth a greater grace than we've ever known. In the time of Zechariah, where we actually stem from, that's where we first see a double grace. We see God doing things that were totally impossible for anyone to be able to do. Something far greater than going to church every day or to live in a good life. Something had to be done that was supernatural in its approach and effective in its process. In other words, it was being processed as they become responsible enough to hear and obey. Now what Al did was in the atmosphere of the church, the Holy Ghost came to his intelligence and made a suggestion. And he could have just, how many times has that happened in the church? I want to really get us involved in this church thing. I really want you involved in this church thing. Right here in New Life Christian. How many times has that happened to you and you just shut it off? How many times did you just maybe shoot off what God showed you this morning? Nancy. She got up and she began to go and she began to take and obey God. And so in order for her to get the full measure, she had to take and separate herself so that she could have the concentration that she needed at that time. Now listen. We're going to learn to love one another in every kind of a situation without attitude. And then we'll see the results of it. If you see, in our love will be, whether we understand it or not, we begin to pray for one another fervently. And what that means is, Lord, we don't have to know what's going on. We don't even have to know how you're going to do it or why. With Gene, how many knew that Gene was suffering Wednesday? Physically. Did God tell any of you to pray for her through the night? Did he bring her to your mind? Well, he did mine, and so through the night I prayed. You see what I'm talking about? Now, this is the grace of God. Now, bringing camaraderie into the body of Christ, where now we become involved one with another. Not to try to manipulate or do it our way. But then we're eagerly looking for how God answers that prayer. And when the prayer is answered, we recognize, no matter who he used or what he used or how it came about, isn't that neat how he did that? And so this is that grace again, going beyond the scope of just a personal grace and me and Jesus. And I thank God for that. Because I have a lot of me and Jesus's. Like all the time. Like any idle time I have. I'm praising the Lord. Has your job, and I know this can happen, has your position as a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a friend, got so concerning that you didn't reach beyond on a regular basis and pray that His will be done? Or do you think you know what His will is? And you can. But you have no idea what He's going to do to make it come to pass. That's where His grace comes in. That's where His mercy comes in, beloved. But mercy and grace are a wonderful thing. But grace is what we're talking about. Because it actually is His favor. That's one of the words you could use for it. Do you know that you have the favor of God? Well, somebody told me that if I sinned, I couldn't do that. Or if I did something wrong, that I'd lose His favor. It's not all wrong. Is it? Is that statement all wrong? Absolutely not. How would you lose the favor then? Only in that one very, very, very minute part, and only until you repented and got back in favor. And once you got back in favor, it's no longer your favor. It's His favor working in you and through you and by you and for you. See, that was the grace. He is the grace. Jesus is the grace. But this is how He is. Because He is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Holy Ghost. But He sent us a promise. And the favor, the promise, and we'll go to it if we possibly can, and if we won't, we will eventually, is He gave us a down payment of everything through His Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking about that inner working inside of you that goes and works in your conscious and subconscious through the intelligence in which you have. How many can say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get excited. Because, you know, we are supernatural beings. And your problems and your thoughts in that, He wants to be in. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to be involved in your fishing. I know how excited He was because He could identify it while it was on the line. And it was what His heart's desire. And even though it's not spiritual to you, I believe it pleased the Father. I believe that what makes you happy and what touches you, hallelujah, whether it's highly spiritual or not, hallelujah, it delights the Father. Amen. Because your dad had to be quite a man to get up and say, well, I've done things wrong. He's not the only one that done things wrong. That's right, because that made him a better man to do that, see? But let me tell you, in a marriage, it's both ways. Mm-hmm. And so, but you know what? When we do a marriage, at least when I do a marriage, there's not two. There's three. There's a mediator. This marriage isn't just done on the earth, it's done in the heavens. I believe that. And I believe now that you have the assistance to God that created all things at your disposal. And I believe that's what makes it work. And then he makes us better men and better women. Hallelujah. Let's go to the second slide. I'll see what I can do today. Hallelujah. I got about 15 minutes. I may just do a little rehearb and maybe do it next week. But this is the word for grace. It's charis or charis. And it's and this is the definition. It's 5485, and it comes out of as gratified as a matter of act. It's abstract or concrete or literally. This grace has no boundaries to it. It's before, it's after, and it's present. In its protection. It means that it's eternal. It's unbelievable. As he's grabbing my intelligence and expanding my faith in it, it's unbelievable. Because you know, I believe that my mama is all right because of God. Now, she's not even here anymore. On earth. Now, you may not agree with that, but that's all right. You need to think about it a little bit. Figuratively or spiritually, especially a divine influence upon the heart, it's a reflection in life, including gratitude. Gee! Now, my wife graced me when I saw her for the first time. Probably I'm going to get my message out today, but at least I'm going to do some talking and tell you what the Lord's telling me. The first time I laid my eyes on her red head, I had determined to take her home. Now you got to realize, in our days, the girls didn't take a ride with another guy they didn't know. But I knew her girlfriend. And so I picked them both up. Then I took her girlfriend home first. And in all the different things that people see and we hear and our emotions and what they express, hallelujah, I would not waste or regret one idle second of the very first time I saw her and she took a ride. And I expect that grace that she has to give me, I will always be receiving as long as I'm alive and afterwards. Because the people that have been continually a part of my life and molding my character, I still love them whether they're alive or not. I still have the same passion, the same love, and the same respect, and I agree within myself that I will always be one little bitty part of that grace that they bestowed upon me as a man, a teacher, a preacher, evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. Acceptable, a beneficial, a beneficial, Eric. I mean, you know, you're a beneficial, or you know, you're benefactor. That's what I want to be. Benefactor, you are. Of what? Of him. Remember John 17? He's given us all things. You can't explain that. I can't either yet, because I don't know what all things are yet. I got an idea what some are. And in the midst of it, he's given us the favor in which we can approach it. How many of you wanted to go someplace and couldn't go because you didn't qualify? How many wanted to ride on a ride and you were too short? What'd you have to do? You had to grow to favor. And once you got the favor, could you take the ride? Hallelujah. Are we getting this? Give yourself room. Hallelujah. There's plenty of time here. Glory to God. But it's wonderful. It's precious. And we're in the life living in now. Hallelujah. But this isn't just for now. See, we get stuck. Well, there, you know, that was years ago. Well, I'll tell you what. If I had to go back to sticks and stones, I could still survive because I know what they did. Come on. I thank God for all the stuff that we have and all the advances that we made. I don't think you'll ever see that change. I think it'll continually increase until we won't have no pollution of any kind. Our mode of transportation will change as we grow and become responsible enough. We'll just leave that there. So we're acceptable, we're benefactors, and we have the favor and the gift of grace, or gracious joy, liberty, pleasure, thanks, worthiness. So, will you do something this week for me? Will you be happy and content and thankful and expect and walk in the favor of the Lord? Give me the next slide. I'm just going to go through this. And Paul saw, and this is the grace. Now I'm going to change it a little bit because grace takes on different components. Did you know that? At different times. Now, when I met Gail, she graced me with her good looks. Everybody say amen. That's true. 28, 38, 38. I'm telling you, you don't get any better than that. Come on, I'm just. That's the truth, so that's true measurement. But I got to tell you this. Now, listen to this, so that was the first portion of grace. But then, she graced me with my first daughter. Are we getting this? Are you grabbing this? See, this is really, really good. And so, God's grace, and I got to tell you this before I go any further. God's grace and full intention, or ultimate intention, is His temple. And a temple is not just one individual. A temple, since Jesus died, becomes individuals that are now connecting to become one, or to become a dwelling place for God's people to come in and be fed and be protected and to celebrate. Hey, you weren't fasting when you went into the temple. You did that outside. You didn't go in with fasting, not in the temple. No. I know you've been kind of told that, but it's really not true. The truth is, you took an altar, you took a coal off the altar of incense of fasting and praying ahead of time, and you added incense in this little thing that you waved incense in because it began to make up all this beautiful aroma of all the praise and the worship and the selection there. And then you got in to the behind the veil where God dwells in the temple. Behind the veil. And now you had a different ear. Your requests were made known, expecting and receiving the right answer every time for every request. Come on. So there, now we're finding that God's grace now is enabling us now to take and hear His voice clearly so that we can see the response of His instruction and of His presence and of his infilling. Because you see, you'll still stay the same as you are unless you change who you are, where you are, and what you are. His presence that comes on you has a voice of instruction to tell you that's not good. But he doesn't leave you there where that's not good. He'll speak the words that you got to take and put your hands right here. Or whatever. It's just a, whatever. You know, you may have to do something at work. You may have to make a decision, and your intelligence is telling you, this is not going to gain favor. This is not going to go according to status quo. See, it's easy when everybody's behind you. But it's not easy when you're right and you have to tell them, this is the way it will go. Well, what happens there is the same Holy Ghost that spoke in Al's heart to touch his and relieve him and touch him physically will speak to you, the same mental part of you, the same intelligent part of you, I guarantee you, and he will encourage you, and then he will strengthen you. And the results will come. But you will not stand alone in your decision because you've made it in Christ. He will back you and you will see a beautiful result. Hallelujah. Because the status quo usually don't know what they're doing. So Paul here speaks about a three-dimension grace. We dealt with the one as an individual. We dealt with the two as the local fellowship of believers. Hallelujah. And in that, beloved, that's you. And that's me. Glory to God. And I love it with all my heart. And I hope you kept your notes. And if you didn't, are you getting these on the web, Danny?
Can I have permission to put them
on? Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay,
I need them on there. You can go to the web and get the notes. Follow through with this. You'll find out that His grace has many dimensions of flavor that will open us up to pretty soon. Anything is possible with God. You will have things come to you that are totally way out of your reach of ever thinking you could do anything about it. But then all of a sudden it's brought to you and you say, how many have had something come to them in a problem? And they said, well, how come you told me? What have you done about it? Now, where do you think that intelligence came from? Hallelujah. Somebody has to know how to implement it. That's His grace. You see, His grace now, once again, reaches beyond. It will do this for you. I want to really help you to run this thing, to run free, to run happy, and to not be stressful. Hallelujah. God wants you not to be stressful. He's not about stress. He's not about proving you to somebody else. He wants you to know who you are in Him. That's why He does what He does. And then the more you rely on Him, the greater effect He becomes in your life. And it takes all this stress out. You'll get some of the glory. But don't take it to your head. Know this for sure, that He's got your back, that it is His grace you're working in, and that He has given it to you. It is yours, and it's not to be stressful for. So, if you've had this problem, or if you are having this problem, whatever it may be, I'm going to have to close pretty quick. Don't be surprised that God won't give you things that are impossible. But also, don't be surprised when He gives you the answer. Because you see, you are so much better than what you know. There's so much more He wants to do through you. and not stressful. Not nothing like that. But on your everyday life, he wants to come out of you. He wants to begin to meet the needs of the people, not your need only. But he wants to meet the people that are around you that don't even know him. My Lord, can you believe that?
Yes.
You know, and sometimes, you know, they'll be sitting there and I'll be sitting over here. Say, I wish he'd take a shower or something. Let me tell you something. I've been by some people, human people, that you couldn't stand. You couldn't stand to smell. God loves them.
Yeah.
It'd be me by the grace of God, or you.
Yeah.
You know, and because aren't we yet human?
Yeah.
And so, beloved, I want to do this next week. I'm charged up to do it this week, but I won't. Hallelujah. The Church Universal, the Bride. I've got the message set up for you. Hallelujah. Just go to the last slide, honey, so they can see it. Maybe they can take a look at it, one thing and another. I got a few things for you. Hallelujah. But one thing I know for sure is that in God being my helper, I won't put this across you. Do not take your place in Christ for granted. And what I mean by that is, don't become proud in your thinking that you only do now what you desire to do and if you feel like it. Because we will see as I go along that you don't want to be in that position. You want to be in a position where when he calls, what he does, even though it may not seem real spiritual or whatever, he has a feast set before you, and you will regret it if you are too busy to attend. That's all I can say for now. May the Lord bless you.